Chapter 2. Blows Against the Empire. The door to Tarkin's quarters whooshed open, disappearing into the partition, and out he marched, dressed in worn trousers and ill-fitting boots, with a lightweight grey-green duster draped over his shoulders. As the adjutant hurried to keep pace with the taller man's determined steps, the strident voice of the protocol droid slithered through the opening before the door resealed itself.
"But, sir, the fitting!"
Originally a cramped garrison base deployed from a Victory-class star destroyer, Sentinel now sprawled in all directions as a result of prefabricated modules that had since been delivered or assembled on site. The heart of the facility was a warren of corridors linking one module to the next, their ceilings lost behind banks of harsh illuminators, forced air ducts, fire suppression pipes, and bundled strands of snaking wires. Everything had an improvised look. But as this was Moff Wilhuff Tarkin's domain, the radiantly heated walkways and walls were spotless, and the pipes and feeds were meticulously organized and labeled with alphanumerics. Overworked scrubbers purged staleness and the smell of ozone from the recycled air. The corridors were crowded not only with specialists and junior officers, but also with droids of all sizes and shapes, twittering, beeping, and chirping to one another as their optical sensors assessed the speed and momentum of Tarkin's forward march and propelling themselves out of harm's way at the last possible instant on treads, casters, repulsors, and ungainly metal legs. Between the blare of distant alarms and the warble of announcements ordering personnel to muster stations, it was difficult enough to hear oneself think, and yet Tarkin was receiving updates through an ear bead, as well as communicating continually with Sentinel's command center through a speck of a microphone adhered to his voice box. He wedged the audio bead deeper into his ear as he strode through a domed module whose skylight wells revealed that the storm had struck with full force and was shaking Sentinel for all it was worth. Exiting the dome and moving against a tide of staff and droids, he right-angled through two short stretches of corridor, doors flying open at his approach, and additional personnel joining him at each juncture. Senior officers, Navy troopers, communications technicians, some of them young and shorn, most of them in uniform, and all of them human. So that by the time he reached the command center, the duster billowing behind him like a cape, it was as if he were leading a parade. At Tarkin's request, the rectangular space was modeled after the sunken data pits found aboard Imperial-class Star Destroyers. Filing in behind him, the staffers he had gathered along the way rushed to their duty stations, even while others already present were leaping to their feet to deliver salutes. Tarkin waved them back into their swivel chairs and positioned himself on a landing at the center of the room with a clear view of the holo-images, sensor displays, and authenticators. Off to one side of him, Base Commander Kessel, dark-haired and sturdy, was leaning across the primary holo-projector table, above which twitched a grainy image of antique starfighters executing strafing runs across Rampart's gleaming surface, while the marshalling station's batteries responded with green pulses of laser energy. In a separate holovid, even more corrupted than the first, insect-winged Geonosian laborers could be seen scrambling for cover in one of the station's starfighter hangars. A distorted voice was crackling through the command center's wall-mounted speaker array.
"Our shields are already down to 40%, Sentinel. Jamming our transmission. Lost communication with the Brental. Request immediate... Sentinel. Again, request immediate reinforcement."
A skeptical frown formed on Tarkin's face. A sneak attack? Impossible. Rampart reports that the attack ship transmitted a valid holonet code on entering the system. Kessel said, "Rampart, can you eavesdrop on the comm chatter of those starfighters?"
"Negative, Sentinel."
The reply came a long moment later.
"They're jamming our signals, Net."
Peering over his shoulder at Tarkin, Kessel made as if to cede his position, but Tarkin motioned for him to stay where he was. "Can the image be stabilized?" he asked the specialist at the holoprojector controls.
"Sorry, sir,"
the specialist said.
"Increasing the gain only makes matters worse. The transmission appears to be corrupted at the far end. I haven't been able to establish if Rampart initiated countermeasures."
Tarkin glanced around the room.
And on our end? The HoloNet relay station is best possible,
the specialist at the comm board said. It is raining, sir, a different spec added, eliciting a chorus of good-natured laughter from others seated nearby. Even Tarkin grinned, though fleetingly.
Who are we speaking with?
He asked Cassell.
Lieutenant Fawn, the commander said. He's been on station for only 3 months, but he's following protocol and transmitting on priority encryption.
Tarkin clasped his hands behind his back beneath the duster and glanced at the specialist seated at the authenticator.
Does the effectives roster contain an image of our Lieutenant Fawn? On screen, sir,
the staffer said, flicking a joystick and indicating one of the displays. Tarkin shifted his gaze. A sandy-haired human with protruding ears, Thorn was as untried as he sounded. Fresh from one of the academies, Tarkin thought. He stepped down from the platform and moved to the hollow projector table to study the strafing starfighters more closely. Bars of corruption elevated through the stuttering holovid. Rampart's shields were nullifying most of the aggressor's energy beams, but all too frequently a disabling run would succeed, and white-hot explosions would erupt in one of the depot's deep-space docks.
Those are Tikias and Headhunters, Tarkin said in surprise.
Modified, Cassell said. Basic hyperdrives and upgraded weaponry. Tarkin squinted at the hollow.
The fuselages bear markings.
He turned in the direction of the speck closest to the authenticator station.
Run the markings through the database. Let's see if we can't determine whom we're dealing with.
Tarkin turned back to Cassell.
Did they arrive on their own, or launch from the attack ship?
Delivered, the commander said. Without turning around, Tarkin said,
Has this Thorn provided Holovid or coordinates for the vessel that brought the starfighters?
Holovid, sir, someone said. But we only got a quick look at it.
Replay the transmission, Tarkin said.
A separate holotable projected a blurry blue